Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Yehoshua. Sorry to be a little late this morning, but for Baruch Hashem, a very good reason. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. I should also note, I expect to be in Israel next week, God willing, all week, so I don't think I'm going to be sending Yehoshua mini shiurim that week. All right, we are in Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13, the distribution of the land, and we're about to find out which land Reuven, Gad, and part of Manasseh receive east of the Yarden. So I just wanted to note something regarding the portions that each Shevet gets, that each tribe gets. First of all, interestingly, the brachos of Yaakov and Moshe given to the tribes speak to which portion of land they get. Not all of them, and not consistent between the two brachos. Meaning, Yaakov's bracha, which we read in Parshas Vayechi, talks about the land of Shimon and Levi, specifically the fact that they're going to be scattered. We know Shimon is going to receive cities within Yehuda, not a proper portion. Levi, of course, has cities around the country. But also Yehuda, Zvulun, Yisachar, Asher, in that order, that's how they appear. Those are in Yaakov's bracha, and Moshe does even more in his bracha in Parshas Vezos HaBracha. In the following order, Binyamin, Yosef, Zvulun, Yisachar, Gad, Dan, Naphtali, and Asher all have their portions described in the bracha to a greater or lesser extent. So as we go through the Shvatim, we'll see how the portion they get corresponds to the bracha they received. It gives new insight into Parshas Vayechi as well as Parshas Vezos HaBracha. The other note I wanted to make is in terms of the sizes of the Shvatim, we have a census towards the end of Sefer Bamidbar, it's chapter 26 there, when they're basically on the verge of entering Eretz Yisrael. And it shows us the sizes of the Shvatim, which will be relevant for some of their portions. So you can really break them up into three tiers. The smallest Shvatim are between 22,000 and 32,500. Now, each of these censuses, you know, is the men of military age. So the men between the ages of 20 and 60. You need to extrapolate a little bit from that in order to really determine the full actual size of a Shevet. Nonetheless, the smallest Shvatim are between 22,000 and 32,500, and that's Shimon, Levi, and Ephraim. The intermediate Shvatim, between 40,500 at the low end and 53,400 at the higher end, are Reuven, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Menasseh, and Binyamin. So they're in the intermediate stage. Recognize that at the low end of this, the 40,500, they're nearly double the smallest of the small Shvatim, which, if I remember correctly, is Shimon. And then the largest Shvatim are over 60,000, and that's Yehuda, Dan, Yisachar, and Zvulun. So just know, worth noting that you have quite a bit of variation among the Shvatim, some of them being triple the size of others, and we'll have to deal with that when we talk about who gets which portion. The Torah gives apparently contradictory evidence of whether size was taken into account. We'll see that, God willing, in Perek Yedalin in chapter 14. But for now, we're in chapter 13, and we're talking about the land east of the Yarden, and there nothing is mentioned about assigning based on size. So we're going to see first the land given to Reuven, and then Gad, and then Menasseh. The land of Reuven is basically the southern portion of Sichon's land. We described Sichon's land in yesterday's mini-shir. The places that are going to be named here are actually familiar to us because some of them appear when Bilam attacks the Jews, and some of them when we talk about Midian, because Midian is in this region as we're going to see. Some of them are mentioned in Bamidbar chapter 32, which talks about the land assigned to the 2.5 tribes east of the Yarden. Some of them show up in the second parag of Devarim. So these names will be familiar to us. Reuven is one of those Shvatim who we don't find anything about their portion in the brachos of Moshe and Yaakov, and Reuven is in that average size tier. They are 43,730 men of military age. So it begins in chapter 13, sentence 15. Vayiten Moshe lematei v'nei Reuven lemishpachosam. Moshe gave to the tribe of Reuven Lemishpacho, some by their families. So first of all, note, this introduction of, and Moshe gave, will be used for Gad and Manasseh as well. It's used for that land on the eastern side of the Yarden that Moshe distributes. It's not used on the western side. And it says, by their families. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara Bava Basra Kuf Yud Zayin about whether the land was distributed based on the number of families who left Egypt or the number of families who entered Israel or both. And it's a nice confusing discussion that you can certainly feel free to read. So in chapter 13, sentence 16, we get the boundaries, and it is their southern boundary is the same as the southern boundary of Sichon, Aroer, that is by the shores of Nahal Arnon, Wadi Arnon. And we get a list of cities that, again, are very well known to us. Cheshbon is the capital of Sichon. We've seen that before. Divon, which was mentioned in Bamidbar chapter 32, sentence 36, as a city built up by the tribe of Gad. But now it goes to Reuven. Bamos Baal, that was the place from which Bilam looked out at the Jews when he was trying to curse them. Baal Ma'on is a city built up by Reuven in Bamidbar chapter 32. In sentence 18, we mention Yatzah. So Yatzah is a well-known city to us. Interestingly, though, it was also a city known historically beyond the Jewish world. The Mesha Stili, which documents a supposed victory by Moab over the Jews later in history, during the first Beis Hamikdash, I believe it dates to the 9th century before the Common Era, mentions Yatzah as a Jewish fortress that Moab says that they took possession of, that they conquered. Another place that's mentioned here that's interesting is Har HaEmek, which literally means the mountain in the valley, which is a little counterintuitive. So Rashi and Radak quote the Aramaic, the Targum of Tura de Meshra, which means the mountain of the plains. Rav David Altshuler in the Mitzudas David suggests, it's a mountain that stands in a valley. Okay, fine. But basically, this is a list of place names, and I'm not going to read them out. They are, as I said, quite familiar to us. One note that is interesting and worth knowing, I guess, the end of sentence 21 talks about Nisi'e Midyan, the princes of Midyan. It lists them, Evi, Rekem, Tzur, Chur, Reva, names that we also know from Chumash. And then it calls them Nisichei Sichon, princes of Sichon. So I don't understand. Are they princes of Midian, leaders of Midian, or are they princes of Sichon? So Radak says Midian came under the control of Sichon at this point in history. Okay. Last note, I think. Well, maybe not. Maybe we can get to more. But Pasuk Chaf Beis, sentence 22, throws in a line in discussing the lands that went to Reuven, and it says, "Ves Bilam ben Bor Hakosem hargu bnei Yisrael bacherev el chalaleihem." And Bilam ben Bor, the Kosem, the Jews killed him by the sword, and it's talking about the war that the Jews fought with Midian. But what is this? What is this business about? It's true that we mentioned the war against Midian. It was mentioned in the previous pasuk, in the previous sentence. So it's not entirely out of place. But why is this mentioned here? So first of all, we call Bilam here a kosem. And I wanted to make sure to note that because the word indicates a form of sorcery. You may remember in Parshas Balak that the elders of Moab and Midian bring ksamim to Bilam. It is a form of sorcery. We tend to think of it as an inferior form of sorcery. And that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuvav Amud Aleph, which says, hey, is he a kosem? He was supposed to have been a Navi. And so Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, at first he was a Navi, he was a prophet, and then he was downgraded to be a kosem. He lost his status. He was reduced in level because of what he tried to do to us. So that's one explanation. Radak goes the other way. Radak says, no, he was a fortune teller. A kosem is a low level. He's a fortune teller. However, he received nevuah. He received that great prophecy in that one event only because Hashem wanted him to have it at that point, in order to be able to give us a bracha or in honor of the Jews, but normally he did not. So either he was reduced because of what he tried to do to us, or just the opposite, he was actually elevated because of what he tried to do with us to us. Either way, what are we mentioning this here for? the so one possibility is because in Bamidbar 31, when we get the record of the war with Midian, the Torah mentions that Bilam was killed in that war. In chapter 31, sentence 8. So now we're also going to mention it here as well. Okay, why exactly was he there when the Jews went to war against Midian? He didn't live there. He lived in Moab. So one answer is that that wherever he was living was actually where the Jews got him. He was in Beit Pa'or. That was his area, and the Jews found him there. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuvav Amud Aleph, suggests, no, he got greedy. He was supposed to get paid for the Jews who he had caused to die. In the end of Parshas Balak, the whole incident with the women of Midian and Moab, and he wanted to get paid. So he showed up trying to get paid, and the result was that, you know, that was a bad move. He ended up getting killed. So the text emphasizes that he's killed b'cherev, by the sword, el chalaleihem, with their corpses. With whose corpses? So Mitzudas David says the other corpses of Midian. And the point is, his sorcery did not save him. He wasn't any greater than anybody else was. He's killed in this lowly way by the sword, and the sorcery doesn't save him. Barbanel says it's our chalalim. He was killed because of the Jewish dead that he had caused. And that may be supported by the language in Parshas Maaseh surrounding his death as well. So what we've seen today, and I think we are going to stop there, but we saw the land of Reuven in southern Sichon. We had this introduction about the brachos of the Shvatim from Yaakov and then from Moshe, and how they correspond to some of the land that's given. It was something that we'll have to talk about more. We talked also about the sizes of the Shvatim, and then we noted that Reuven's cities are actually, a lot of them are well known to us from the Chumash. Yatza is a fortress that's even known from the Meshach Stili later in history, during the first Beis HaMikdash. Moav talks about it. And we saw that the death of Bilam is noted as part of describing the land taken in the war with Midian. So tomorrow, God willing, we'll see the land given to Gad, the land given to Menasseh, and more about Levi as well.